Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Mark and Kitchen.
Yeah, we're resilient. We're going to keep fighting. Not going to hang our heads, obviously. We know where we're at. We know we need to pick it up. But, at the end of the day, we're just going to keep grinding. I know we're probably getting worn out, but, what else can we do? Keep fighting, keep working.
I'll tell you something, kid. Everybody gets one chance to do something great. Most people never take the chance, either because they're too scared or they don't recognize it when it spits on their shoes. This is your big chance. You shouldn't let it go by.
It sucks. Like I said, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I just flat out stink right now. I don't know what it is. I mean, when you're going good, it's good. When you're going bad, it's pretty bad. So
they removed your entire body. You're nothing but a head now. They said that there was enough fat in your head to rebuild your new body. So they got scientists in the other room working on it.
On Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
If they win,
yeah,
you can make a definitive conclusion. But if they lose or if they're struggling or if they go down 2-1 or 3-2, everybody's going to say, now Smart isn't there. And that's something you're going to have to acknowledge. I mean, it's just frustrating.
Ben Simmons, the baseball pass. And Smart's got it! And the ball game is over!
Smart is all over Harvey, who does not like it. Little pushing and shoving. And Harvey knocks Smart down, and it's called for another foul!
More than anything else, Gordon Hayward becoming the number two, true number two option. If that happens, because of play, not because of necessity or whatever, because of play, he's becoming that true number two deadly scorer that he used to be, then yeah, I think they're in pretty good shape, and I can kind of buy into a little bit of what Kyrie was saying.
You think we'd be in this position? Ain't you jealous? We'd suck like the Pistons, that's what they would tell us.
Rebuilding's long, see what Philly's done?
You'll be mincemeat, son, when the big three's gone.
Now, it's time for Mark and Kitchen on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
Coming at ya!
All right, welcome into the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEEI. Mark Dondero, Ben Kitchen in Providence. Ben Kitchen, happy Easter.
Happy Easter, my friend.
How you holding up?
Terribly.
Playing a little hurt today is BK.
Yeah.
But we got a lot to talk about, and I'm going to start. First thing I'm going to do is ask you, what is your take, what is your current position on the Boston Bruins down 3-2 with game 6 looming this afternoon, 3 p.m. in Toronto?
Dead.
What?
Dead.
The series is over?
Dead.
What do you mean dead? Well, let me ask this.
They're lifeless right now. They've got nothing. Look at them last game. They look like crap. They've played one really good game. This entire series.
Game 2.
That's it. One good game. And outside of that, they've looked like a bad hockey team. So I don't know why you can feel confident or positive about them.
Well, wait a sec. Not feeling confident or positive is a lot different than dead. I mean, you have them as dead.
Yeah, they're dead.
Wow.
They're dead. They're done.
Whew.
They're not. Where are they getting any production from?
All right.
See? You can't even answer that.
I just want to ask one quick question. A quick question?
Of course.
Who's in goal for you in game 6? Who would you have in goal?
I guess I'd just say screw it and go with Halak. Why not? No? You're sticking with Rask?
Well, can I make my point first?
You're the ultimate Rask hater.
Can I make my point first?
All right.
Let me just give you my opening take.
Yeah, do it.
A couple things that have shocked me.
Uh-huh.
Okay, about this series and something that I just can't believe has unfolded. All season long, we talked about the Celtics and how they were not engaged fully in the regular season and how, you know, once the playoffs got here, they'd be a different team. And why can't they have the camaraderie of the Boston Bruins, who enjoy playing with each other and it's a lot of fun and they have a good time out there? Mm-hmm. And the results back that up. And here we are in the NHL playoffs, and what am I seeing from the Boston Bruins?
The Celtics? The regular season Celtics?
The regular season Celtics, essentially.
Yeah.
Now, they might not have all this inner turmoil from a personality standpoint, but what am I looking at? Game on, game off. Inconsistent. Where are they? Why can't they get up for each game? They lose, they get up, they win. You know, Nassim Kadri pisses them off. They get up, they get pissed, and they win, and they play hard.
Mm-hmm.
Then they fall flat. Then they get back up after they lose, and they win again. Then they fall back down. That's disappointing. That's Celtics' MO. That was what the Celtics were doing.
Yeah.
That's disappointing, considering this is the NHL playoffs, and I don't want to see that anymore. And you might be right. It might be too late at this point. But I am shocked after the regular season that they've had to see that in the playoffs, where they are just not taking games. I don't want to say they're taking games off, but the urgency clearly isn't there. And I'm seeing it more with the Boston Celtics. Now, I know they're playing the Pacers.
Yeah.
Okay. And the Pacers, if you're going to measure them, the Pacers probably aren't as good in basketball as the Leafs are in hockey.
Not even close.
But I just cannot believe I'm seeing this level of inconsistency with the Bruins. And what makes things even worse is that Tuukka Rask isn't the problem. I mean, he's
no.
playing well. He's playing okay. With that being said,
yeah,
my goalie for game six
I knew it was coming.
Is Yaroslav Halak. And here's why.
Yeah.
Rask hasn't been the problem. Rask, I thought, was excellent in game five. The problem is, in five opportunities, as discussed on this show, when down by more than 1-0 in the series, they've mm-hmm. never won that series.
Yeah.
That's a big enough sample size for me. If my house is on the line, I am not putting it in the fate, in the hands of Tuukka Rask. I'm not doing it. You need some sort of spark. Now, I know there have been...
That right there is the only reason I would do it.
Yeah.
Just to change something.
You need a change. You need some... I think you could create a little urgency with the forwards with a new goaltender in there. They're not sure how he's going to respond. We better get productive here.
Yeah.
And I would do it. I would do it because I don't think Tuukka Rask... Look, you already lost a game where he was excellent.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think, and by the way, the Bruins have lost four of their last five playoff games at home. Like, what's that about? I don't think they're going to be able to win two straight with Tuukka combined with all the other issues they're having. I don't think so. And you know what else they kind of remind me of?
If your top line is going to keep playing like crap and be listless out there and just look completely uninspired, then you're sunk.
Yeah.
And that's part of the problem is they do not look good as a unit.
The other thing.
Yeah,
sorry,
go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
And Cassidy has shown an inability to try and switch things up. You know, it seemingly works at very small doses, but then he doesn't actually have any conviction with it. From top to bottom, take Rask out of the equation. No one's really looked that good.
Right. And you just said it. Without any conviction
yeah.
in some of the changes he's made, you know what it reminds me of a little bit? Not perfectly, but a little bit. It reminds me of like when in the early part of the football season, when the Patriots' defense doesn't look all that good because they're trying to find the right formula and they're trying to gel. That almost is what it reminds me of right now with the Bruins and some of those, especially those lower level lines, the third line, the fourth line. They don't know what's going on. There's changes being made. They can't find the right combination. I mean, what are we doing? This is the playoffs. You don't have any of this set? I mean, remember back, I know this is kind of glory days talk, but the Merlot line, I mean, they yeah. knew what those lines were about. They knew what was going on.
Yeah.
That's what it sort of reminds me of. Some chaos that you'd see early in a season where you're trying to figure things out.
Yeah.
And it's not working.
Well, I'll be honest. I underestimated Toronto. I didn't think they were quite this team. I didn't think they were this
especially
good.
Especially
defensively. I thought this was a team that was going to need to overwhelm you offensively to beat you. And they haven't really had to do that. They've just played better hockey every game, with the exception of game two. That's it. And the Bruins have shown an inability to kind of go back to that well of game two and show you that they have this energy, they have this life, and this physicality. They've done none of that since. Absolutely none of it.
I think a big part of this, obviously, is that Austin Matthews woke up for Toronto.
No kidding.
And not only did he wake up, I mean, he's been dominant, essentially.
Yeah. Even though he gets a gimme here or there. Like, that shouldn't have been a goal.
What, the interference?
Yes.
Yeah, I would have definitely called that interference. The only thing, when they said how it was close, how Rask was outside the blue paint.
But he wasn't, though.
Wasn't really. I would have called interference there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I absolutely would. But it's not like that was.
But it was close, though. It wasn't.
It was absolutely close. You're right. It was close. But it's not like that was make or break anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's not what broke their backs. They were already broken.
I don't think they're going to win two straight games. I just don't think they will.
Ah, so you think they're dead,
yeah,
too?
Yeah. I wouldn't have said three deads. I would have said it doesn't look good. It's probably over.
You would have just said dead.
Yeah. But it's
so loud.
It just doesn't really. I don't know. I mean, they could. They've just never done it with Rask. They've never done it. And then you lose a game where he plays really well.
Yeah.
I don't love it. I'm going with the percentages here. That's why I want Halak in there.
Who's been the most disappointing for you, though?
Well, there's a long list.
I know.
And I love Patrice Bergeron. He hasn't been as good as I wanted. I'll tell you another. Now, this is more of an X factor, so to tab him as most disappointing might be a little unfair. Jake DeBrusk, I thought we needed a little bit more out of him.
Mm-hmm.
Just hasn't been there.
Krug.
Ugh. I think David Krejci has played better than I was hoping. That's a bright spot.
That is
a bright
spot.
Has it been great? He's been, no, not great, but he's been better than I was hoping. Bergeron hasn't gotten it done, and I know a lot of people are complaining because he hasn't been out there with some of Toronto's lower lines.
Yeah.
Whatever. Get it done. He's not screwing anything up, really. He's just not producing the way we're used to seeing Patrice Bergeron produce.
I would go with Bergeron.
Yeah.
Simply because of that.
I just don't like to do that.
Well, it starts with you. You're the best player on the team. You got to lead him. And he's not doing it. He's been completely ineffective. It's not like he's been terrible, absolutely woeful, but he's done nothing.
And there's no reason to think right now that, oh, the Bruins have home ice advantage in Game 7, that means anything or gives them any kind of advantage. Not at this point, because Bruce Cassidy has not taken advantage of the last change, and they've lost two games at home, right? So
home ice, home field, home court. It's always – that's overrated sentiment. Overrated. Always has been.
Let's talk to JP in North Providence about the Bruins. JP, good morning.
Gentlemen, good morning. I love the duty you guys are pulling on the holiday.
All right.
Let's go, guys.
Let's go.
Time and a half for that, guys?
What was that?
Hopefully. What?
You getting time and a half, hopefully?
We'll figure that out later.
Yeah. Here we go.
We're lucky if we get paid, JP.
You get the banana cream pie at the end of the day that might be left
what?
Over.
What? There's a banana cream pie available?
Hey, guys, listen, the Bruins, if you remember that Cox Cable commercial from a few years ago, people are talking and they're answering even slower. They look like dial-up internet and Toronto's high-speed Verizon. It's like Magneto's kid that's running around everybody fast. They look tired and out of sorts. Toronto is too fast. If they don't slow them down, you're going to have a lot of guys swearing at relatives' house at about 5:30 this afternoon. That's the issue, the skating is out of sorts. Bergeron may be great. He can't keep up with these guys.
No.
They're not skating with them. They look tired. If we don't go, I hate to say it, but go slap shot and start gooning it up, I know that's not what we're supposed to do. You got to slow that game down, because if you start trying to skate with them, they're going right by them in their own zone. I'm nervous.
I'm really nervous.
Look
what they did in game two. I mean, I don't know if you call that gooning it up, but it was physical, and that's how they dominated.
Yeah.
I am nervous. I don't know about the Rask thing. I don't even think if Patrick Roy with, four other goalies in there, some of them, yes, but, you know, we can't score because we can't outskate them to put the pressure on. So I am nervous. Let's see what happens by, 5:30 this afternoon. We will know.
There's going to be a lot of spiral hams chucked against the wall.
Yes, seriously. Broken remotes. Thanks, guys.
All right, have
Thanks,
a good
JP.
One, JP. Here's the thing, though. And what he said was, or what I was thinking was, the game they played in Game 5,
That's
sort of the Bruins game that I was looking for. You know me, I'm a defensive guy. I'm not a big 6-4 fan. But you need scoring. I would have, that would have been a key game, obviously, for the Bruins to win and to prevail in. They don't score a goal at home.
Yeah.
Or until what? When they were 6-on-5. So they get one.
JP's bringing up, Bruins hockey, slapshot style hockey. Problem with that is they can't even catch him to put a body on him.
They didn't game two.
That's it, though.
Yeah.
They cannot catch up to them to lay down those hits, to slow them down.
Yeah.
They just can't do it. And they're not being, you know, I want to say they're not being aggressive enough, but I just don't think they can catch them. That's part of the problem there. Team speed, overwhelming advantage for Toronto, where these guys, the Bruins players, can't even catch them to put a glove on them, to put a body on them, to slow them down. They just can't do it.
Yeah. I worry that they lost a game where Tuukka played well. What's going to happen when if he becomes inconsistent? Because we can all agree that he has had an MO of being inconsistent. Now, if that rears its head, they're going to be in big trouble because they haven't been scoring a lot of goals. They've had issues with the Maple Leafs defense, something we didn't really foresee.
No.
Now, things can change on a dime, but I'm just going with the trends. They've never come back from a 2-1 deficit, a 3-2 deficit. They just haven't done it with Rask. They just sometimes you just find a way to not get it done, and that's what he's that's what has happened with him. That's why I think you put a lock in there. I know it's not popular. I know. He's played well. But sometimes you just need a change of scenery, a different face. And he's a good goalie. You put him in there. Maybe the offense feels a little more urgency. Maybe the defense feels a little more urgent. I don't know. I feel bad because Tuukka's played pretty well.
Yeah, I mean,
but it calls for that.
He is not to blame for what's going on.
No.
I mean, I look at that first line. That's part of your major problem right there is the fact that they've been ineffective, completely ineffective.
But who's really on the bottom three lines for the Bruins? I mean, Krejci, I said, played well.
Yeah.
But it's about that first line.
Yeah.
And everybody sort of knew if they pushed with Toronto's first line, that was a bad situation for the Bruins. And now here we are. Down 3-2. I mean,
So do you look at roster construction as the biggest problem with this team?
Well,
not nearly enough depth moving forward to try and get through the long grind of the playoffs? You know, or it's Cassidy's inability to figure things out on the fly.
Well, the guy that they got at the trade deadline has done nothing.
Yeah.
Johansson. Johnson.
Nothing.
So that's been brutal. It didn't appear based on a move like that you were all in.
Yeah.
Because other guys were out there, but the price tag was too high. And I'm sorry, but this core is older. Mm-hmm. I want to win with this core. This core has already won once. Why don't you try to win again? And they weren't all in. Now, do I know why they weren't all in? I don't know why. They didn't want to give up those assets that they had to get another mid-first-round pick. I have no idea. I'm not following the NHL draft. Sorry. But they should have been more all in. Because it looks like some of these other teams are benefiting from some of the guys that they acquired at the deadline. They tried to get John Tavares. It didn't work out. He slept in Maple Leafs pajamas. So I don't know. Is that the difference in the series? I don't know if I go that far, but maybe there is a reason that Austin Matthews is playing better this year than he did last year. Maybe that guy's presence has helped.
Yeah, a little less attention focused on him.
Yeah.
Frees him up a little bit. He's been really good, and we looked at it, and we kind of made fun of him before the series in terms of he's Casper the Ghost when it comes time for the playoffs, but he's been outstanding.
No, he's dominated.
He's been absolutely outstanding.
So, I mean, even without that interference, that was going to be a tough save for Tuukka Rask to make.
Oh, I don't think he doesn't make that save regardless.
With the way they executed that play with the pass and shot, that was going to be a tough save.
Yeah, he was.
I don't feel good. I don't feel good.
Tuukka wasn't close to making that regardless.
Will they get to game 7?
No.
They lose today. It's over.
I think it's over. Sadly. Especially when you had a golden opportunity when the best team in the league gets bounced in an epic sweep. That was embarrassing.
Yeah, I'm going to say they win today. I'm going to say they win today and lose in 7.
All right.
That's what I'm going to say.
All right. I mean, we're splitting hairs.
I'm following all the trends here. I'm following the trends with the way the series has gone. I'm following the trends with Tuukka Rask and his inability to bring them back when down more than 1-0. And I'm going to say they win today and then lose in 7. And that's it.
It's hard to argue. I just don't see them getting out of this first round regardless.
They refuse to make changes over the years, especially a goaltender. And it's not even his fault this time around.
No. No, he's the last person to blame on this team right now.
But it's just, when you see the way they've played and juxtapose that with the way the Celtics have played, the Celtics have done to this point everything that they have said they were going to do. And you got to give him credit for that. We're going to get into the Celtics when we get back. This is the Mark and Kitchen Show on an Easter Sunday, 103.7 WEEI.
We now return to Mark and Kitchen on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
All right, back here on the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEEI. Mark Dondero, Ben Kitchen. Boston Celtics game 4, 1 p.m. on Easter Sunday.
You got it.
Going for the sweep in Indiana. How impressed are you with the Boston Celtics, Ben?
I'm more impressed than a lot of other people are. Everyone thinks they should just completely walk through this team as if, you know, Indiana hasn't been a pretty damn good team even without Oladipo this year, third best defensive team in the league. So what they've done has been pretty impressive, especially showing an ability to come back in these games. That part has been very impressive to me because they have not shown that ability throughout the regular season. They would get down and they would be sunk in that game. I don't like the fact that they'll have a really good quarter followed by a really bad quarter and then have to climb back into the game.
Yep.
But they have shown that ability to climb back in and not give up, which is impressive to me with this team.
I'm not interested in 37 points in the first quarter by the opponent. But I think that one of the games, was that game two where they gave up the 37 points? Indiana finished at like 91. So that's better. That's fine. The Boston Celtics have impressed me. This is why early on, back in January, February, December, I forget when, I said, I will reserve my final conclusions for the end of the regular season and end of the postseason. I wanted to see them in the playoffs. We wanted to see Kyrie Irving play a playoff basketball game for the Boston Celtics because we haven't seen that. We hadn't seen that.
Yeah.
So that's what I wanted to see. And we're seeing it, and we're liking what we're seeing.
He's been awesome.
He has been awesome. Not only that, I tweeted out a still frame of – it was a video, but I took a still frame of the video – after one of the quarters ended in game three, you could just see him on the bench. He looked fully engaged in what was going on. Now, one thing we haven't seen, okay, is playoff adversity. We haven't seen that. So I'll wait. Everything has been great so far. Credit to them. Because it looks to me like Kyrie is fully engaged and playing well. Looks like Jason Tatum has looked and played the way I wanted him to look and play.
Mm-hmm.
Jaylen Brown, what can you say about him? He has played well. He was unbelievable the other night in game three. That's what I was hoping for. That's what we were wishing for. Especially when you have the situation where it's Batman and Robin, Kyrie and Tatum. That is a tough combo to beat. I think that's when the Celtics are at their best. And the lineup, their roles look solidified, don't they? They look like they're in their happy place. And I like seeing that. Everybody looks like they know what they're doing. They're accepting what they're called on to do. And they're playing well and it's working.
Well, the starting rotation is playing a lot more minutes than they had in the regular season. I think you only had two guys that played more than 30 minutes a night in the regular season for this team, and you've got five guys doing that now, which is what they needed to do, and shorten that rotation and just kind of cycle through those top seven guys on their unit. They're doing a very good job with it. I do get frustrated with them defensively and the lapses they have. That part can be very aggravating because this is – while Indiana's a good defensive team, they're not a great offensive team.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd like to see the Celtics clamp down a little bit more. Remember, they were such a good defensive team last year. This year, not so much. Not so much.
No. I would like to see it a little bit more defensively. But again, if they're winning these games, I'm not going to get on them too bad. Especially if they're keeping teams under 100 points and they're winning these games. I'm starting to wonder, though. They've looked good. Let's say they finish the sweep.
Yeah.
Then let's say they go out and have a long series against the Bucks and lose. I'm wondering, and I want your opinion here, if that happens, does the blame from the fan, from the media member, does it sort of shift to Danny Ainge for not doing more at the deadline, not getting a piece like all the other teams in the East got pieces? Because this team, after the way they played in the first round, and then if they go in a long series against the Bucks, the top seed, and lose, will that blame get shifted to Danny Ainge for not doing more for the roster? Opposed to the players.
It will slightly. It shouldn't.
Okay.
Because you look at this team and the way they were constructed, they were a very good team, and you know, especially coming off of last year when you go through a deep run in the playoffs and you're missing your two stars, your two all-star players, you're missing both of them through that entire run. And you look at it and it's like, okay, we just need Hayward to finish off and get healthy here and just take that next step. We don't need these other pieces. We have a great core. Our core is still better than these other teams, even with the pieces they added at the deadline. You know, so I don't think Danny should take too much heat for that. I still look at the players and go, you just didn't get enough out of yourselves. You guys are arrogant. You're smelling your own farts all the time.
Yeah.
This is a player's fault. This isn't if they underachieve in the playoffs, if they get bounced in the next round, which is underachieving for them, I don't blame Ainge. I don't really blame Steven. Steven gets more of the blame than Ainge does. But I blame the players. I blame their unwillingness to actually utilize the regular season to get better. Instead, they were just trying to wish it away and get to the playoffs instead of actually focus on things they need to focus on, which is playing better as a team and figuring things out defensively where you had them before. So I put it on the players. I put it on Kyrie. I'll still put it on Kyrie and his attitude that seemed to infect the other players on the team throughout the regular season. I don't put it on Ainge.
No, I wouldn't either. I think it's worth asking the question.
Sure,
because
absolutely.
Other teams did things at the deadline that made them better. But you could also say, if it's a long series and they lose in seven, I do carry more weight when thinking, or I should say it this way, I think home court advantage carries more weight than home ice advantage in hockey. So if they lose a tough game seven in Milwaukee, you know, that's not what I'm looking for. I mean, you could have had home court advantage if you played the regular season with the urgency that it should have been played with.
Right, as I've been saying for a long time, Milwaukee's the one team you do not want to face in the East. They're the best team in the East.
So you feel that way more so than Toronto? Because I feel like I'd rather almost face Toronto. I'm sorry. I'd rather almost face the Bucks than Toronto.
No. Kawhi Leonard's a great player, but there's no greater mismatch problem than Giannis right now in the league. He is the biggest mismatch problem. And
Brogdon isn't playing, though. Is he going to be 100% if he comes back?
Well, no, but I don't care. Giannis might be the best player in the league right now.
He probably is.
So,
not the best shooter.
No, but he does everything else.
Yeah.
He literally does everything
including
else.
Including defense.
He's a great, great player, and I don't know how you match up with that. This Celtics team, who's covering him? Who's guarding him?
You know, I'll tell you.
Putting Tatum on him? Tatum's not that good of a defender.
I'm going to tell you.
Brown fouls an awful lot.
Yeah.
He commits a lot of stupid fouls and takes himself out of a game.
Yeah.
Well, the athleticism will make up for that.
Okay. I think right now I'd rather face the Bucks than the Raptors, and I'm going to tell you why. The Bucks, with one of their better players out, if you have to face them in the conference finals, he's healthier by then. So if you get him in the second round, he's not as healthy if he's even back at all.
I understand what you're saying.
Then with the Raptors, look, it's not just Kawhi. This kid Siakam, Pascal Siakam, scares me. I do not like his game in terms of having to play against them. On top of the fact that the Celtics are awful in Toronto. Awful.
Yeah.
0 for their last 10 or 11. I don't like that matchup considering they're not going to have home court advantage. I'd rather just as well see Philly. And it's kind of crazy that the odds are against the fact that the Celtics and Sixers are going to play a series. But that's what it looks like. I'd rather see Philly deal with Toronto, and I would rather deal with the Bucks. I would rather deal with the Bucks right now and hope that maybe Giannis, you can stymie him enough and that he doesn't have the help that he had during the regular season and you can steal a game and steal the series. I don't feel great, but that's the way it is.
I understand what you're saying, but I like the fact that I think Kyrie can absolutely abuse Kyle Lowry.
Okay.
I think he can absolutely torch him. And the way Kyrie's been playing, not just offensively, but in every phase of the game for them, has been absolutely outstanding. I feel good about him, that one-on-one individual matchup moving forward, and I think that you can really abuse them that way.
Okay.
Philly looks like crap. I mean, They have moments of looking really good, and then they have moments of complete stupidity. That's a team with no control. No control. I mean, geez, Dudley gets thrown out of the game, and then Butler gets thrown out of the game. I'll make that trade any day of the week. If I'm the Nets, I'm like, great.
Yeah.
Go out there. Yeah. Be Mr. Hatchet Job Man, Jared Dudley.
Yeah.
And go get
been
their,
in the league
their
19 years out of Boston
out.
College.
He's had a hell of a career.
Yeah, he stayed in the NBA. I mean,
made a lot of money being just a weird player who's gone from being kind of a nothing piece to a pretty damn good outside threat to being a halfway decent defender to being an also ran on. He's had a weird career. He's lasted a very long time. Good for him.
Yeah.
Good for him. Craig Smith, on the other hand.
What happened to him?
He was out of the league in like 2 years.
2 years. Yeah. 3 years. Did they play together at BC?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It was the two
good
of them.
College team.
Yeah, they were fun.
Yeah.
That was a fun team. That was the best team. You know, it was better than the Troy Bell teams. Boston College.
They definitely performed better, but I loved those Troy Bell teams.
Yeah, they were a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But Dudley and Smith were, that was a better team.
They were more productive, yeah.
And they had what's his name, who was falling out of windows and stealing laptops. And
oh, the guy that got drafted by the Nets?
Yeah, yeah.
What was his name, Jackson? No.
No. I can't remember. I can see him.
I know
I
what
can
you're
see
talking
his face,
about.
But I can't remember his name.
Jackson, we'll look it up. Jackson.
No.
It wasn't Jackson.
It's not.
Okay. Let me ask you this question. Has your opinion at all changed about Kyrie Irving's future based on these three games? Has anything changed?
You in terms of my want or desire for him to remain here or in terms
anything.
Of
anything? Do you want him more? Do you still
yeah.
want him?
Yeah, I want him more.
Do you think he's going to stay?
No. I still don't think he's going to stay. Do I want him more? Yeah, because you're watching him perform really well in the playoffs and he's actually backing it up. The frustrating thing still is, you know, this team could be in a much better position than they actually are if he had pulled his head out of his ass months and months ago and realized that the regular season actually matters and didn't just wish it away.
Yeah.
If it didn't matter, well, LeBron James and the Lakers would be in the playoffs, Kyrie.
401-737-1287 is the phone number. Give us a call. I disagree. I think Kyrie Irving is staying.
Really? Why?
Yes. I don't think he's going anywhere.
He's got that zest again?
First of all, do we have the comments from after game one, I believe, Devin? We'll have to look them up. We'll get them. Because he said something that I thought was interesting. We'll look them up. We'll get them. But I just think that this man doesn't have anywhere else to go. I don't think he wants to go to New York. I don't think he wants to play alongside Kevin Durant and be Robin. I think that he had some things that came with the job of being the face of the franchise that he didn't like to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a hard time adjusting to those. But I think his desire to be the man, to be the guy, to be the face, to be the reason that the team is going and running the way it is, outweighs the trials that come with being the leader. I don't think he loves being the leader, and I don't think he loves that role, but I think he loves even more being the face, being the reason, being the number one alpha dog Batman. I think he loves that more than he hates the trials and tribulations of being a leader. And I think that he's enjoying the fruits of his labor, air quotes, at this point. Now, again, we'll see once they hit some adversity in the playoffs.
Yeah. That's the big key with him.
Yeah.
He is a front runner.
When times are good.
Yeah. But the good part about watching him right now with this playoff run that's ongoing is this is a team that looks really happy to be playing together.
Yeah.
And this is, I'm not watching a coach and star player be cross with each other. You know, they seem to be absolutely on the same exact page, which is great. He's been outstanding. He has been so much fun to watch.
Yeah, he's playing defense. He's not engaged.
Yes, he's playing actually good defense, but he's doing everything. He's grabbing rebounds. He's getting other players involved. And then when he needs to take over, he takes over. I'd like to see them, though, ride the hot hand a little bit more. That gets frustrating sometimes, especially in that last game with Jaylen Brown coming out and starting off the way he started, 11 points in the first quarter. You'd like to see him kind of continue to ride that a little bit more.
Yeah.
Sometimes they can get lost. And like I said last week, with regards to Jason Tatum, dude, you're not a superstar.
No.
Like, you're a very good player. You're going to be a very good player. You're going to be a multi-time all-star. But stop acting like you're Kobe Bryant. These calls that when they go against him, he acts like a giant baby, gets a T. He's got to play a lot smarter. He's got to play within himself. He is really frustrating me at times when he does this. And it's going to burn them at some point. It's going to burn them at some point.
And again, I know you want to give the Pacers credit. I'll give them some credit. This is the Pacers.
Mm-hmm.
There is no superstar. There's no all-star on the court for them.
No.
So this is a team that this Celtics unit should be able to handle rather easily. But I'm impressed. And this is as well as it could have gone to start the playoffs. So we'll see. The true test will come in the next series. And I might be singing a different tune in 2 weeks. But for now, I don't think I'll be singing a different tune with Kyrie, because I've said the whole time I think he's staying. I just don't think he wants to be the second fiddle. I don't think he wants to be Robin. I don't think he wants to deal with that. I don't think New York is as good of an option. I know people are trying to talk him to New York, but it's just, I think he trusts Brad. I think he trusts Danny. He knows what this organization is all about.
I don't know why you say you think he trusts Brad. Danny, maybe, sure. I don't know.
Maybe trust is the wrong word. But I think he believes in Brad. I think he believes in Brad.
I hope so.
I think he does.
I mean, that goes contradictory to everything I'd seen during the regular season. But in the playoffs, it has shown that a little bit. Just watch their interactions. Watch their body language when they're dealing with each other. It's a lot better than it was 3, 4, 5 weeks ago.
By saying believes in Brad, I think he thinks that maybe it's not perfect. There's things he'd do differently. There's shortcomings he thinks his coach has.
Yeah.
But I think he thinks that his mind is in the right place, his heart is in the right place, and the guys respect him.
Mm.
And I think he can work with that. This is just my theories and opinions. I don't know.
No, I understand.
But I just don't think he goes anywhere. Unless the dark horse in this, I will say, for everybody, the entire league, I think it's the LA Clippers, because it feels like they've got a little something cooking there. Doc's there, and we know all the players love Doc. They like Doc.
Not a very good coach, but players like him.
But they like him. And Jerry West is there.
I don't know how much that means to a lot of people.
Well, he's proven he can help build the team.
Yeah.
Lawrence Frank has been a productive NBA man, coaching, executive.
Mm-hmm.
Not that would draw free agents,
no.
But it's also LA.
But it is LA.
Steve Ballmer is an owner with deep pockets. I don't know. That's
deep pockets and big connections. As we've seen, these NBA players are thinking a lot more about their future beyond the league and how much money they can make from outside things. And if I'm looking around, I don't know who every owner of every team is, but Ballmer would be one of those guys I'd look at and be like, this guy can make me a lot more money off the court.
But even with that being said, mm-hmm. I don't think Kyrie does it. I don't think he cares that much about LA. I don't think the Clippers aren't necessarily the situation he's looking for. There's too much uncertainty there with the roster. I don't think he does it. I think he likes ultimately what they've got in Boston. He likes being the leader, steering the ship,
yeah.
And he stays. That's what I think happens. This is the Mark and Kitchen Show on 103.7 WEE.
We're back to Mark and Kitchen on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
You don't shoot particularly well. You come into halftime, I think we're down 6 or 7. And, you know, throughout the regular season, we've been in positions like that, and the energy coming in and the attitude. You know, we just had to turn that page. It's the next play mentality. We weren't sure why we weren't doing the right things, but, you know, it's a series. You know, so we come out any time in the game, runs can happen. Anyone can come in and make an impact, and it just.
So that was Kyrie Irving.
Where the hell's that guy been all year?
That wasn't the sound I was looking for. Do we have the sound where he talks about playing at TD Garden and playing for this organization? It was just more evidence that this is a guy who I think, I don't want to say he's turned over a new page of leadership or anything like that, but this is a guy that is enjoying where they're at right now. Mm-hmm. Now, again, we'll see what happens once they hit some adversity, because there's no way
I'm going to believe that there's a smooth series ahead of them against the Bucks. They're going to lose some games. They could be down. And they're an ornery bunch, too, with Eric Bledsoe. I mean, there's going to be some – you're going to have guys getting under other guys' skin, and that could affect the way they respond in big moments. So there's going to be a lot of good leadership necessary going forward. There's going to be a lot of things that could make people uncomfortable going forward. So I want to see how he reacts to those things, Ben. But so far, so good. Can't say the same about the Boston Red Sox. Just can't. However, I can in this series.
I know.
They won their first series of the year, baby. Let's go, Sox Nation.
How sad is that?
It's sad.
It's Easter, and they finally won their first series.
Yes, yes. Ooh. But, I'm telling you, they, in my mind, saved the season with these two wins.
Yeah.
Because I was, not the season, but I was ready to put away the division. If they got down 10 games and lost the first two, mm-hmm. I was putting away the division. And then it's about the wild card, and you were only 5 or 6 games back. The only problem is you had the worst record in the American League. So every other team in the American League was ahead of you, which would have been a tall task.
No, I honestly, the season was done to me.
And done?
Yeah. It was done if they
And now it's not done?
No. No.
So maybe the Bruins can come back, too.
No. No.
Okay.
No. We're better.
Stay with the Red Sox. We'll get back to the Bruins.
Okay. They're getting buried later. Okay. No, I mean, look at what Tampa Bay did last year. They had a really bad start, very similar start, and ended up with 90 wins. Mm-hmm. And that's not a team that's nearly as talented as this team is. I'm still concerned. There's still issues out there that, you know, you have to look at.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, they have seemingly turned the corner, especially against the best team they've faced all year outside of maybe Seattle. They look much better, but now you're starting to see kind of the bad side of the bullpen. Now we're seeing that part of it, which we hadn't seen because it hadn't been necessary before. You know, the starters were just garbage, and whatever the bullpen did, and you didn't really care because the starters sucked so bad anyway. But now, you know, look at last night. You're up 5-0. Mm-hmm. You're 5-0. Now, Porcello gives up 2 of those runs, but Porcello was fairly good. I didn't have many issues with him. He doesn't get the win last night. Barnes does because the game gets tied up. So it was frustrating, even though they won those games, and it's very important, especially last night, to get the win the way you did. But they haven't gotten out of the woods. We can feel better about them, but they have not gotten out of the woods yet.
No, certainly not.
And especially when you have a pitcher that's, we don't know how long he's going to be down. We don't know how long he's going to be out. And he's got a loose body in his elbow. I don't know what that means. What the hell is a loose body
in your elbow? A body within your elbow. Maybe it's a loose, I don't know. I don't know what that means. What I do know is that Chris Sale is still struggling. Now, I expect him to turn it around. I think a big part of the last two games, obviously, was that Mookie Betts was productive. That helps. The one thing I wanted to ask you about was I thought the comments made by David Price to the Boston Globe's Alex Speer were interesting.
Very interesting.
Do you think that's something the Red Sox would consider, blowing up the team, blowing up the roster, and making significant trades? Because if you didn't see it, David Price essentially said, I'm paraphrasing here, but he basically said, if we don't start playing better, there's going to be a shakeup. Mookie Betts could get traded. JD Martinez could get traded. I could get traded. I mean, if I'm Mookie Betts or JD Martinez, I don't particularly enjoy him bringing my name up like that.
Yeah, but
it's
you understand.
Yes,
it.
I do. I do.
I honestly don't see that happening, even if they kind of struggle out the gate.
Can I just say this real quick?
Continue to struggle out the gate. What?
I do appreciate the rawness of his comments.
Sure.
But do I agree? Do you agree?
No. No. Someone like David Price? Yeah. Bye-bye. See you later. But JD or Mookie's a different one, but I don't think they would even consider moving him during the season anyway. I think if anything's going to happen with him, whether it's an extension, a new contract, or they decide to offload him somewhere for a buttload of return, I don't think that's happening till the end of the season regardless. Regardless. Yeah, I see no point.
3 reasons why I don't think it's going to happen. And again, I appreciate David Price's attempt at
urgency.
Mm-hmm.
Is that fair to say?
Sure.
But I just don't think that happens. Number one, you don't sign Chris Sale at his age and of his stature to a long-term extension only to blow it up. I don't think you do that. Number two.
And Xander.
And Xander Bogaerts.
You just sign up Xander for a long-term deal, and then you blow up the stuff around him?
Well, especially Xander.
Why would you pay him then?
Right, but at least he's a little younger.
Yeah.
Sale's older, so why would you extend him if you're going to just blow up and start rebuilding? Number two, that's not Dave Dombrowski's MO. He doesn't do that. And number three, I think you look back, everybody within the organization looks back 6 months ago and says, oh, look at what we were capable of with this group of players. It's not worth blowing it up right now because they just won the World Series in historic fashion 6 months ago.
Yeah.
So we're not going to blow it up. I appreciate the rawness and realness of David Price's comments. I saw it as an attempt of urgency. Or an attempt at urgency, but I just don't think he's right.
He's someone I would see them offloading.
Yeah.
Porcello, there's another guy you can easily see them offloading. You could offload some of that, but you're not going to offload J.D. Martinez or Mookie Betts just to rebuild the farm system? Like, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. This whole notion of, the farm system's dead, blah, 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 blah. I don't give a damn. Like, to be honest with you, I don't care if the Pawtucket Red Sox win the International League.
The Worcester Red Sox?
It doesn't matter to me.
No.
What they accomplished doesn't mean a whole lot to me. That's just a pipeline for the majors.
Texter, guys, a loose body, we're talking a bone chip, piece of cartilage, a lump of fat or tissue.
No, I understand.
Floating around.
I understand all that, but I want the specific of what it is. I get that.
You could have surmised that. Yeah.
Yes, I understand that, but you outlined six different options. Which one is it? What is it? Because some of those are worse than others.
A little mineral deposit, small calcified something that is rubbing against a joint or muscle or nerve.
Oh, that sounds awful.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds awful.
Well, it's not good. He needs to turn it around.
Just signed him up.
Chris Sale needs to turn it around. And we'll see what happens. Like you said, the bullpen we thought was going to be an issue has been an issue.
Mm-hmm.
They're not out of the woods, as you stated. They've gained a little bit of breathing room.
Just a hair.
But, if they go on and lose the next four or five, then they're kind of back to where they were.
Yeah.
That's the problem with the start they had. There's no room for error now. There are no room.
If you complete the sweep today, huge. Huge for this team, especially since it's the team, in front of you in the division. Then you got four against Detroit at home. And then you come back and do it all again with Tampa Bay next weekend. So this is very important right now, especially that series next weekend against Tampa Bay again. It can really put you in the right position and kind of almost wash away this horrible start to the season. So if you pick up three more on them in a week, you're in good position again, especially when you look at what the hell's going on with the Yankees. Judge out, had to go to the hospital yesterday for an oblique strain. Who knows how long he's going to be out.
It's Marcus Smart's injury, I believe. That's Marcus Smart's injury, isn't it? Oblique, yeah. Texter, Paw Sox have not left Pawtucket yet. 13 nights of fireworks at McCoy this season to go, so noted. When we get back, hour two, we're going to talk Patriots draft, a little Tiger Woods. We'll get back on the Bruins. This is Mark and Kitchen, 103.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.